Hey guys, it's James.
And Samuel.
And we are doing another episode down the rabbit hole.
Pre-recorded.
We had the option, given our schedule, we only had the options to record one episode, either Week in Anjo or Down the Rabbit Hole. And considering the build-up we've had to this episode for the month, we wanted to do this one. A Week in Anjo is always going to be there. It's always going to be different and crazy, but I didn't want to leave this monthly series on Down the Rabbit Hole on an open end. So,
yeah, so instead we are choosing this one. Plus this one's a lot easier. Like, with Anjo, usually about 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours of time goes into that show.
You guys don't pay us enough to do that right now.
No, I've had a lot going on this weekend. I'll also have a lot going on next weekend, so I don't know what's going on then. But life is hectic right now.
It is crazy. So, to the episode. This week, we are wrapping up, summarizing, tying off loose ends for the monthly topic of
America's War on America.
Yeah.
Or America's War on Americans.
Yeah.
And, I'm tired.
This one is going to be discussing the interactions of police, the war on drugs, military, and the war on terror, and how this all relates to the topic of being America's war on Americans.
Yeah, so effectively, both wars, that being the war on drugs and terror, are both boogeymen that were created by the United States government, and it was designed to target the American people. So, the war on drugs was created by Nixon and his administration as basically a front to be able to target black and Hispanic communities.
As well as the anti-war communities.
Yeah, and the anti-war communities.
So,
because
hippies.
The hippies.
Goddamn hippies.
And it's hilarious because MKUltra is what really brought drugs into those circles.
Yeah. So they knew the people it affected, and, well, they wanted to target those people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how
it was just
kind of
worked out very well for them.
What is the least common denominator for these people that we kind of hit with drugs? Oh, we hit them with drugs. So let's go ahead and target drugs and the users of said drugs, and we'll lock them all up.
Yeah.
And it was really a means of kind of putting a stranglehold on non-white people and hippie white people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was in the very beginning. And what it's turned into, it still serves that purpose to a point.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. But now we're seeing a lot more come from that with the development of cartels.
Oh, yeah. Like, the funny thing about it is,
these cartels wouldn't exist if the government didn't legitimize that.
Yeah, without the war on drugs, the cartels wouldn't exist. Because the only reason they do is because basically, the black market that the government has provided is what created it.
Yeah.
Like, you can just look at Prohibition. Like, if you look at prior to Prohibition of alcohol versus, like, the current day where there's no Prohibition on alcohol, compared to the Prohibition, like, there's no violence surrounding alcohol these days. Because you can literally buy, a little home brewer and make your own beer in your garage.
Yeah.
Like, there's no violence surrounding alcohol because
you can make beer in a toilet in a prison.
Yeah, because it's not banned. But, like, the reason there's no violence surrounding it is that it's not banned. But when you look at the Prohibition days, suddenly mafias were popping up left and right and were being fueled and funded by the illegal alcohol trade.
Yeah.
And they were bloody and they were violent.
Because in order to keep themselves established as a business of any kind of legitimacy, they had to get violent. Because the government was going to chase them down. The government was going to get violent with them. So they had to be violent.
Well, that's what creates the circle of violence, is the government bans something, a black market forms, they violently pursue that black market, the black market violently fights back, and then it just creates this cycle where the violence just increases more and more and more. And when you see, like, Prohibition didn't last a very long time, so it didn't have a lot of time to get horrible. I mean, like, you got some pretty bad gangsters, but nothing that was really all too bad. I mean, you also had people like Al Capone that would literally burn debt papers when they robbed banks.
He also was the one that started putting expiration dates on milk.
Yeah, because one of his family members got sick.
Yeah,
but
he's not about that life.
Yeah, but Then you have the war on drugs, which has been allowed to go on for decades, and you can see what it's led to. Extremely violent cartels that aren't just a problem on Mexico's side, they're also a problem on our side because they like to come over here every so often because their business dealings bring them here. Like, that is what happens when extreme, like, when prohibition goes through long enough on a market that has a high demand. Because the only supply that is going to come from them, so
the supply exists. It's a matter of meeting the demand, and in order to meet that demand, you got to get creatively violent.
Well, the main reason is because since you're the only supply, the government's going to be coming out after you more harshly.
Yeah.
So you have to respond more harshly.
Yeah.
So, all in all, like the cartels, none of the violence surrounding drugs would exist in the United States if it wasn't for the fact that they were banned.
Yeah.
And I mean, overall, sure, I'm sure you'd have, like, the random addict stabbing their friend over a bump, but...
Or, you know, Florida man does bath salts and eats somebody's face.
But that's nothing...
That's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's gonna happen regardless, and it's nothing compared to what the cartels do.
Not at all. But, really, the way that this targets the American people is all of these drugs are typically, I'd say at least 9 times out of 10... ingested voluntarily.
Oh, yeah.
With the consent of the person doing the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They do a consensual business transaction, and then they consensually ingest the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And the government doesn't like that because they said no drugs, and here you are doing drugs, even though they specifically said not to. So, well, I guess we're just going to have to hurt you now. So that ends up targeting very specific demographics, or at least it used to. Now it's a much broader, more general demographic. Like, fucking everybody and their grandmama smokes weed these days. It's insane. So this just gives them the open excuse of I smelled weed.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pull you over. They got nothing. They know they've got nothing, but they want something. So they can just randomly say, oh, well, I smell weed, so I have the excuse and the right to kick your ass to the curb.
And then when you look at the war on terror by, basically on the flip side, the war on terror has done the exact same thing that the war on drugs has done. It's been allowed to go on for a long enough time, it has only gotten increasingly violent, and it has created new terrorist and extremist groups.
Yeah.
So, without the war in Iraq, ISIS would have never existed.
Never.
If the United States had not invaded Iraq, ISIS would not have come to be. That was a direct result of U.S. intervention.
And I think Al-Qaeda or Taliban or both are still a thing?
Both Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is weak and fractured. Most of them splintered off and became ISIS. As for the Taliban, they are still the governing body in Afghanistan. They were also instated by the United States. They were brought to power by the U.S., and just like the Mujahideen, which were freedom fighters that were propped up by the U.S., eventually turned on the U.S., because it's like, okay, you helped us with our cause, now get the fuck out. You're not getting the fuck out? Okay, time to fight you.
Well, I mean, the Americans were freedom fighters that were put up by the U.S., and then they eventually turned on the U.S. Or sorry, the U.S. turned on them, rather.
Yeah. But that's the thing that I feel like that's what happens, is, like, the United States will... primarily the CIA, they will prop up
CIA
freedom fighters, and then they'll help them win their cause, and then when it comes time to leave, they don't. They use it as an opportunity to occupy, and then those freedom fighters that were fighting alongside the U.S. now turn on the U.S. because they see the U.S. as the occupying force now.
Yeah, we're sitting here fighting for freedom, and you won't go away. Like, thanks for helping us get our freedom from our government, but we also want freedom from you. Yeah. Politely fuck off.
Like, I could see it if Trump hadn't pulled out of Syria and eventually the Kurds got their own... Like, as much as I love the Kurds, I think they're a pretty, like, swell group of people that have kind of really gotten the wrong end of the stick. But if the Kurds, you know, if they fought alongside the U.S. long enough to see them get their own land and their own home... Eventually, the same would happen with them. Like, it'd be like, okay, mission accomplished. Now let's go our separate ways. And the U.S. would have been like, nah, we're just going to stay here. And then the Kurds would be fighting against us.
All that land we got you, it's actually poppy fields now. Or oil rigs. We'll find out.
We'll find out. You'll be working it for us. But basically, the war on drugs and the war on terror are the flip sides of the same coin. Whereas the war on drugs has created violent cartels on the domestic front, whereas the war on terror has created violent groups such as ISIS on a global front or on a foreign front.
And then even worse, the war on terror has done a lot even to the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, aside from spurring a lot of people into joining the military blindly and going and getting themselves hurt and or killed or traumatized at the very least, aside from that, it has also been the excuse for several rights violations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the excuse for the TSA. It's the excuse that you can't take more than 3.4 ounces on an airplane. Like, really?
This could be a bomb, so I'm going to throw it into the garbage can with all the other potential bombs.
Right? Next to all these people that could also be carrying potential bombs. Like, what is wrong with you?
Now, all that is, like, the creation of those agencies, like the TSA, like, and with the passing of legislature, like the Patriot Act, all that is a method of mass surveillance and mass control.
Yeah, and it's using the war on terror as the boogeyman. It's like, well, mm-hmm. we have to pass the Patriot Act. If we don't, who knows when another 9/11 is going to happen?
Terrorists will win.
If we don't do this, who knows when the boogeyman is going to pop up and get you?
Yeah.
If we don't have the TSA watching every single airport always, who knows when the boogeyman's gonna come up and blow us up. Even though literally a dude brought a laptop bomb onto an airplane. Like,
yeah, even though
that could have been the boogeyman right there.
Yeah, that would have been the one terrorist that they actually managed to stop, and they missed him.
Right.
Because they've literally never caught a terrorist.
Never.
All the TSA has done is fondled and groped a bunch of innocent American citizens and foreign nationals, as well as steal people's stuff and make people miss their flights.
Yeah. And they don't even reimburse you for the missed flight. That's the bullshit of it all. Like,
they could literally just be having a boring day, be like, huh, I'm just going to pick on you for a little while, make you miss your flight, and then go about my day after that.
Also, heads up, don't try to go through an airport and be sexy. Don't try to be hot in an airport, because the TSA will, like, detain you and sexually grope you and stuff because they think your tits are just the bomb. So,
don't. Clearly, you can see, Commander, that she is the bomb, so
the
she
bomb?
Can't go on the plane.
You must stop her!
Porno music starts. But they're all methods of mass control.
Yeah.
Like the Patriot Act, the War on Terror, the War on Drugs, the TSA, it's all what it's been a part
because
of. It's mass control over the population.
One of the biggest bullshits of these boogeymen and the means of chasing these ends is how compliant the people are.
Mm-hmm.
When the TSA stops you for a random check, how many people do you see just say, yeah, no, I'm good, I'm just going to keep going. thanks for trying, but no, that doesn't happen. How often do you see people get stopped for smelling like weed, and they're like, I don't smell like weed, you can fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
How often does that happen? People are always like, oh shit, I smell like weed. Well, I better let him tear my car apart to prove I don't have weed. Or he can fuck right off because you don't have weed. Or he can fuck right off and you do have weed. It's none of his fucking business.
Or you can just have the situations like in the Fort Lauderdale airport where they were basically abusing the idea of, or like the excuse of, I smell weed to use civil asset forfeiture to steal people's money.
Yeah. That and the whole them going to California, possibly getting weed and then coming mm-hmm. back. It's like, we know where you're going. We know what you're doing. We're just going to detain you preemptively. It's like, how about you kill yourself?
What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Right?
Oh, wait, that's been dead for a long time.
Well, see, the boogeyman is what makes everybody guilty until proven innocent.
Pretty much,
like, you
yeah.
could be a terrorist. You could be a drug addict.
But you could be the boogeyman.
You could be the boogeyman.
You could be innocent, but you could be the boogeyman.
There's no such thing as an innocent boogeyman.
No. But aside from basically the control, like the surveillance aspect on the home front, you also have the issue, and this is both a foreign and domestic issue, you have the theft of resources.
Oof.
And some of these are exclusive to foreign or domestic, and some are both. But the primary ones are oil, drugs, and labor.
Yeah.
Those are the big things. Like, when you have, like, on the foreign side, you have oil. On both sides, you have drugs. And on the domestic side, you have labor.
Yeah.
So,
well, depending on how far you're willing to pick it, because, I mean, having Afghanis growing poppy fields, and then all we do is send guys with guns to watch it, that's kind of abusing their labor, but, I mean, to a point, it's definitely abusing their labor, but we also don't take all the drugs, just most of it.
They're also not being, they're not necessarily being forced, it's more like you're being sanctioned into it.
Yeah, we're not forcing you to grow poppy for us.
We're giving you another option.
But if you want to, we're going to be right next to you the whole time making sure you do it exactly the way we tell you to.
So listen, either you grow nothing or you grow poppy.
But you can always grow nothing.
You can always grow nothing. But
live the Skywalker dream. Get a moisture evaporator.
There you go. And when it comes to the labor side of things, just look at the prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
And that ties in directly with the war on drugs. Like, you get a bunch of people imprisoned for extensive periods of time.
Because drugs are bad.
If you're a repeat offender just for, say, marijuana possession, you can land yourself in prison for 5 to 20 years.
This is the third time you have smelled like weed.
But the big reason they want to do this is, A, it feeds the prison industrial complex. But, B, it is a source of very, very cheap labor. Basically free labor. And
like damn near.
The thing is, when it comes to prisons, they're really ran by the prisoners. Like, it's kind of funny, you get an idea of where I come from. But a lot of my family members have spent time in jail and prison. And I know for a fact that the prisons are ran by the prisoners. All the guards and the warden do, they just walk around with their thumbs up their asses making sure a riot doesn't break out and
just looking intimidating.
Just looking intimidating while the prisoners literally do everything else. So basically you have free labor to run your prison, and then you have more free labor to get public works done, like to
break rocks in the hot sun, fight the law one.
Yeah, all that good stuff. But they will try to say that it's not forced labor. But the thing is, you put somebody in this situation. You kidnap them and threw them in a cage for something that was a victimless crime that they should not have been caged for in the first place. And then you give them the option, okay, you can sit in here and rot for 10 years, or if you do these labor-intensive jobs that we need done, you can look at getting out in 3 or 4 years instead.
It's comparable to the Roman Catholic Church saying, look, we're not going to force you to convert, but if you don't, we'll kill you.
Yeah, it's
like, there's your options. That. You either do what we say or, you know, die.
It's like, you don't have to work. You don't have to do these things. But if you don't, you're going to be in here a lot longer.
And you're going to be fucking miserable the whole time.
Yeah.
It's going to suck in here. It's going to hurt the whole time you're dying.
Yeah. But it is strictly a profit and labor-based market.
It is.
Where the government,
the government can't pay people enough for the labor they want.
No.
So the easiest way to get the labor they want without shelling out the money is to just throw them in prison. Why can't they pay enough? You would think they'd have enough money with as much as they're stealing, but actually, that's going to the other boogeyman. That's going to the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
So all the money they steal all gets pumped into inflating the war on terror, while the people they steal just fuels the labor on the home side of things and legitimizes the war on drugs.
It's like, oh, we can't really afford to pay contractors because we've been too busy lining our pockets with these taxes. So we'll just get the prisoners.
We'll just arrest the contractors.
Yeah, we'll just plant weed, get them arrested, thrown in prison for a few years, and then we'll just have them do it.
Yeah, same guys will do it. Just they're felons now. No one will hire felons except for the U.S. government.
Exactly.
And that's another bullshit thing is once that shit goes on your record, you get arrested for shit like that, it's a felony offense, it goes on your record. Good luck getting a white market job ever.
Well, and that's,
you're forced back into black market jobs. You are forced to stay in an ever-ending conflict against the government.
And that's the whole purpose. Is it the reason that they do that and they basically blacklist you in society for things like this is to keep you in that system. That way, if you do manage to get out, okay, that's cool and all, but I'll expect to see you back within a year because you have no other options but to go back to what you were doing before.
Yeah.
And or it could be something as simple as they get arrested for felonious marijuana possession. Like, they're not dealing, they're not doing any, or running drugs, they're not doing any of that. They just had simple possession, but it was enough to be felonious. And then, now they're blacklisted for their possession or charges.
Worse.
So now they have to go dealing.
Even worse, there was actually an article I saw on Anjo. I believe I talked about it, but there was some school kid got arrested and charged with a felony for pointing her fingers at someone like a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And at first you think, oh, well, that's just fucking stupid. What reason could they possibly have for this?
Gun control.
One guy in the comment section brought up this narrows the pipeline, or rather broadens the pipeline.
The school-to-prison pipeline.
Yeah, the school-to-prison pipeline. Now they have a felonious record.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to be treated differently. They're probably going to end up back. Or let's say they survive school. Let's say they actually make it through and graduate high school with a felony on their record from when they were fucking 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they actually get out into society. Good luck getting a job. Now you're forced into black market trade, which means you're forced to do something the government's going to target you for. You're forced into a system that's going to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because at some point when you were six, we arrested you and charged you with a felony for pointing your finger at someone like it was a gun.
Yes.
Even though that's a totally non-lethal weapon unless you're Bruce Lee.
Yeah, and even if you manage to break out of that mold that you were forced into, being a felon, that even though democracy doesn't fucking work, they remove your right to vote. They
Which really just glorifies the right to vote. Yeah. It makes it look so much better.
Like, oh, I'm so privileged to have the right to vote. But it also they remove your right, or better yet, they don't remove it, they restrict your right to own a firearm.
Yeah.
If you're a felon, you do not get to own any firearms.
You're already a felon. You're already stuck to the black market. Stick to it. Get a machine gun. Tell them to fuck right off.
Well, that's the thing, is they force people into this mold, and then it's a mold that you can't really break out of because it stains your record for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But then,
Any white market business has to abide by white market business ethics, which is unethical, but they have to.
But yeah, in terms of... So that's basically on the war on drugs. Like, circling back around to the profitability aspect with the war on terror. Everybody knows that war is profitable.
Yeah.
War creates jobs, fuels the weapons industries. It results in major profits for politicians, weapons manufacturers, not to mention that a lot of those weapons up in the hands of the enemies.
Which just keeps the war going.
It fuels the war.
Keeping the businesses going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, back in World War II, every man, woman, and child in America had a job. Men were fighting or working something homeside. The women were usually assembling machinery, be it planes or tanks or weapons, whatever. Children, I guess they were just getting paid to be children.
No, they were usually factory workers.
I forget that it was that time. That was a good time. why can't children work factories anymore? If a kid wants to work a factory, fucking let them.
I think that's the big thing, is you just have to make sure the kid's actually consenting. Also, don't hire children for life-threatening jobs. Like, if they want to be a fucking seamstress, if they genuinely want to do this, it's like, fuck it, take them in as an apprentice, as a seamstress.
The Koreans will pick them right up.
But, like, I don't think you should ever throw a kid into a coal mine or a factory. But if you're just like, hey, like, this kid's interested in carpentry.
Unless you're angry and need a way to punish them.
Yeah, no.
Then you throw them in the coal mine.
It's like, oh... Little Timmy spilled the cookies. Time to drive a pickaxe through his fucking skull. No, but
into the coal mine, Timmy.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, like, just let them apprentice. Like, come on, guys. But it is very, like, war is very profitable. It creates a lot of jobs, and it also acts as an excuse to hike taxes and regulations, which furthers the, you know, I mean, profitability for the politicians.
Especially when you consider all these jobs they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
All these jobs going around, all of this shit going around, there's more people working, which means more people that can get taxed. So they don't even really have to increase taxes per se just to get more revenue from it, but they're going to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because now everyone is focused on the war effort, And they're like, well, we need to increase taxes for the war. It's like, okay, sure, take more of my money. Let's make this war effort go. I'm profiting anyway. And it's just, it's this bullshit cycle of money being spent around back and forth. And every single time the people get it, they get less back. Mm-hmm. And they give more back to the government. They get less back. They
it's
give
unsustainable.
More back. It's extremely
unsustainable. It's like a pyramid scheme.
It's like, I'll give you two and I'll take three every single time.
Yeah.
Like... It's sooner or later you're gonna dry the little guy out, and they should get pissed and revolt.
Yeah, but they don't.
They don't,
because usually by then the war ends. Because
Americans are
like
pussies.
The war, they'll usually end the war, and then
it's a predictable end though.
You have a period of recovery, and then you do it again.
It's a predictable end though. The government's going to see like they have the whole thing planned out. They're gonna be watching it, and they're like, okay, so we need to stop about this time. So we don't completely suffocate the economy, let it build back up, and then steal it again.
Yeah.
Like, it's a predictable end. They have the whole thing orchestrated.
Yeah.
As long as they have the boogeyman that they can rely on to add fuel or take away from, then they have control over these bullshit war efforts, just as a means of controlling the people through fear. Whether you're afraid of drugs or what drug addicts might do, or whether you're afraid of terror and all that shit, as long as they can keep people afraid of these things and legitimize the boogeyman, then the people are going to be completely compliant with these efforts. Even though they think good things are coming out of it, it's not, and the government's just using it as a means of control.
Oh, yeah. And really, that's what it is when it boils down to. It is the military is the global police. And the police are naturally the domestic police. And
bastards. They're all bastards.
But the goal is control. That's what
time.
It is.
Because what else is the government even for?
Yeah, other than
like
controlling.
literally governing you is their name.
Yeah.
What are they for if not to control? It's not to protect. It's not to serve. It's not any of that fun, fantasized bullshit pipeline dream that people think it is. No. It is solely to control you. And if they have to get violent and deceitful to do that, they're going to.
Oh, yeah.
Every fucking time. Name one government that has successfully governed without deceit and bullshit and fear and all the typical means of governance.
Well, they can't, because if they did, they wouldn't have a very long reign.
No.
It literally, you require lies and deceit to be able to actually properly govern.
Yeah, you have to lie to the people to govern. That's some bullshit.
Ain't it though? Wouldn't it all be just so much simpler if we could just take care of ourselves and each other on our own accord?
What, on a voluntary basis?
A voluntary basis?
What is this? Is this consent?
Not violating people's consent. It's a crazy, crazy idea, isn't it?
That's a pipeline dream, and it'll never happen. Your consent will never be valid.
It'll never be valid.
We will always rape you!
Oh, gosh. And on that note, that brings us to... And the end of this episode of Down the Rabbit Hole.
And right after ends, I say I will always rape you.
Yes. Because I'm going to stop you before we get another visit from the FBI. But the thing is, that's the summary of America's war on Americans. And...
they are boogeymen used as control devices.
Definitely.
And that's evidently they're very effective because they're both still raging on.
Yeah, but people are finally getting tired of it, though.
I've been tired of it.
Yeah, but the populace is finally getting tired of
it. I'm ready to get a gun that smells like weed.
We just need to be like Portugal and legalize all the drugs.
Right.
But with that said, thank you guys for tuning in. Keep in mind... well, actually, there's no point in even telling you because this will happen after the missed week in Anjo.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Sunday, but you don't get to hear it till Wednesday.
Yeah. So, we'll try our best for the next episode of The Week in Anjo. No promises. It's been squirrely. It's been really fucking squirrely lately with our work schedules and stuff. We are trying, though.
Well, like, right now my private life is also getting thrown into the mix, so that's making things difficult. Like, I've got things going on. Like, I just got
private
home.
Life, the bastard.
Yeah, I've been gone for 4 days, and I just got back, and then I'll be off to Atlanta next weekend.
But, meanwhile, I'm over here with nothing but work going on because that's my fucking life.
Ain't it great?
Kill me.
Welcome to my world, bitch.
This episode is a cry for help. Please kill me.
Well, with that said, thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, don't die.
And stay sexy.